If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerald Farrelly.
And I'm Eve Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants. Niamh, it's so fantastic to see you.
You too.
It's been so long.
I know, it feels like forever. I put a different jumper on though, to be fair.
I know, yeah. This will be the first time that we don't have
two videos
with the same clothes. I mean, I think there was a record where we decided we would change, or maybe I decided I changed something. I think I might have put a hoodie on.
Yeah,
just to be really professional.
I may have taken a coat off at some point. I don't think I ever thought about it.
We're not shattering the illusion.
No.
We live 100 miles apart. We stack these and rack them.
Although part of us wants to meet every week, don't we?
I know, I do want to meet every week, Niamh. Because I have to say, it's been like, I think I've seen you in the past 35 weeks. I've seen you more than I've ever seen you.
I know, it's really
fun.
Which
is fantastic.
It's the best thing to come out of COVID for me, that and my Zoom calls with my mates. Like, because, you know, funny enough, we live in different cities, the same kind of combination. And what happens is, for years, we had to rely on when somebody was home, and then we all kind of flocked in.
I know.
So now we see each other on a camera for every 2 weeks, and we quite like it because we can wear jammies if we want. It's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to go to a noisy bar.
No, and we spend, like we say, oh, we're only going to do 45 minutes on the free Zoom. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to pay for it. Like,
I have to say, there's nothing more upsetting than an open-ended Zoom.
Oh, no, because there's no limit on that.
The days of like the 3 hours on a Friday night, looking at your mates who are clearly drunk and should have hung up about an hour ago and got themselves together.
Well, I always know how successful it is about how many times we go back on the same Zoom. And if I'm enjoying it, what I do is I tell something cliffhangery and then it goes off.
I'm really good at faking...
Is that a word, cliffhangery? I'm actually thinking about that.
Yeah.
It is now.
It is. Well done. Created by Niamh Kavanagh.
Thank you.
I'm really good at faking a bad connection.
Sorry.
We're in the shit studio. I'm just saying it now. We're in the shit studio and the mic keeps hitting Niamh in the face.
And you know, the best part of it is it gets overexcited every time Gerard laughs, I think. It just rises up.
That's what happens. When I make people laugh, things rise up. It's the reason I get into comedy.
Now, Grod, I'm very upset because you haven't mentioned how well I'm doing on Instagram.
Niamh, you're doing, like, I have to say, I've never seen such a turnaround. Genuinely. Like, you were up there, you were doing requests for letters and stuff at the week.
Nobody answered me, but it was good. Nobody sent me any, I don't think, unless they sent it into the actual...
But I was just like, what is going on? Like,
no, but my favourite part of all that, you know, I figured out the captions and all that sort of stuff. It took me a while and now I'm like caption mad. But actually, my very favourite thing is when you put in, you know, when it makes the auto caption thing where they kind of say, you know, what the words are and it tries to guess what I'm saying when I say Garode. It spells your name so many different ways. It is the funniest thing.
Growth comes out a lot.
Or G-R-O-D-E. I didn't even know that was a word.
There was a part of me that thinks now if I move to the UK, I might call myself Growth.
As in G-R-O-D-E. People would actually be able to pronounce that.
Yeah, at least they'd be able to pronounce it.
They would go Growth.
Growth. Yeah. I think it would work. Because my new thing is now, right, I've decided...
Yeah.
That I've got to the point in my life where I'm actually not explaining my name anymore.
Oh, okay.
I've actually just had enough.
Yeah.
Like, so now I have a new life hack. And that is for situations where they don't genuinely need to know my name. I just call myself John. And it works.
I know.
It's so easy. Now, like, so the coffee shop around the corner.
Yeah.
I've been going in there for months. Okay. And I always say my name is John. Right. So when they just write it on the cup, John. Hi, John. How are you? But what recently, what happened during the week was one of the women that works there.
Yeah.
I met her out when she wasn't like wearing her coffee shop clothes.
Okay.
And she went, oh, hi, John. I was like, I'm not John. So this warm relationship that I have with him is now, she's very cagey with me.
So basically,
understandably.
Basically, you confused yourself.
Meeting somebody that works somewhere in a uniform and meeting them outside, it's like, you know, when you see a teacher on the summer holidays.
No, I know.
You're like, oh my God, this is so weird.
And the thing is, they generally remember us.
Yeah.
But we don't remember them. You know what I mean? It's not that we don't remember them. If I see them out of the context of where they are, I'm actually really good with faces, but
I'm terrible with faces.
I'm terrible with names. So, I'm great with faces. I generally can get back to where you are. I also have excellent leading in questions. I have developed over many years to get me where you met me.
Well, what I always say to my partner is, because he used to always say, you didn't introduce me. Why didn't you?
And because like, I couldn't remember the name.
I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I know.
And if I ever don't introduce you, you just say who you are and get the name. That's like...
That's your job.
That's your in.
You had one job. All this invitations to illustrious events, that's your job.
Yeah, your job. You're the plus one. You get the name when I have absolutely no idea who
exactly.
It is.
Yes, exactly. And you know by the look on my face.
With your cousins.
Yeah.
Because he's a culture. They've loads of cousins. There's always 1,000 people. That
I know, to be fair, I'm the same. But actually... my autocorrect, right, on Siri, if I, you know, my name becomes Miami. So for a long time, it called me Miami. Now it has learned my name now. So when I say Neve, I don't know how it actually.
I think that's Miami is a really cool.
Alternative.
Yeah, it's a really cool alternative. I think I might call you that from now on.
I don't know why I just guessed Miami, you know, based on.
My worst autocorrect story is years ago, I was doing a gig in Belfast and I was driving home afterwards and I texted my mom and she was like, you know, or were you around or whatever? And I was like, no, I'm actually doing a gig in Belfast. And she sent me a text back saying, I hope you get good soon. Kiss. And I was like, that's a bit much before a gig.
And we
for
know.
Your mother say, hope you get good soon. And it actually what she
we know
was,
how fragile you are.
Exactly, Neve. I'm a creative person. I'm an artist. My temperament is all I have.
You know,
But what she actually meant was, hope you get home soon.
I know.
But it took me, like, it was long after the show that I did in a state of existential crisis.
A lot of therapy.
That I realized Deirdre's just not good with the phone.
So all the way through that story, all I'm thinking about is, you know, how often do you text your mum?
I do text her regularly, but she doesn't always text back.
Okay. So in this equation, I'm you and your mum is my children because my boys, I have to ask for proof of life every now and then. Every couple of weeks, I kind of go, hello?
Yeah, send me a photograph of the newspaper,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, to show that you're currently still alive.
Mummy's worried.
You know, are you still my son? You know,
like, I do think though what happens is though when you're a kid, like when you start to get your freedom, you go through this little phase of being
separate.
I'm a man in the world now and I don't need anyone. And then you kind of ignore your parents for a few years.
Oh, totally.
And then around the age of like, I think late 20s, you sort of gravitate back
That's
in.
a long way to be dealing with that. Like.
Yeah, but realistically, you only gravitate back in when you're like, I might need a nail deposit for a house.
Great. I'll start saving. So.
You need to get in that car now.
I know, I've been very clear with my children.
In your eyes around the country.
I've been very clear with my children. They're on their own from here on.
But actually, I was just thinking on the subject of names.
Yes.
Didn't you originally, I remember when you were first in your record, weren't you going to call it All About Neve?
Yes, I was. I won't get any, you know, points for the best idea. I did actually think about that. Mainly because I'm Bette Davis. All About Eve was the thing. I can't believe you brought that up. I mean, I had obviously filed that into, you never have to think about that again. Yes, I was thinking about that. And then somebody else probably thought that other people wouldn't get that reference. So, because to be fair, unless you look at Neve, unless you know how to pronounce Neve,
yeah.
I mean, that's not going to, All About Niamh. It's not going to work.
Because I did that in Edinburgh years ago. I called my show Garode Less Travelled.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Because I thought, yeah, but then if you could pronounce it, it made sense.
Yeah.
But the problem was nobody could pronounce the name and didn't know the name of the show. And then I met my agent halfway through the festival and she was like, it's not working. People think it's Gayrod Less Travelled.
Well.
Very different show. Very different show. So in that same conversation, we had a conversation about whether I should change my name.
Okay. Oh, in general?
In general.
You know, because Simon Cowell told me I should change my name back in the day. Yeah. I didn't.
So he told you you should change your name?
Yeah, because he said people wouldn't know how to pronounce it. And I said to him, well, nobody knew how to pronounce Sinead. So, you know, and so it has to be somebody with a name, you know, and
I imagine that was a sassy meeting.
Yeah, it was very sassy. There was a moment.
They didn't know how to pronounce Sinead. And why do you wear your trousers like that?
Yeah, and he really did wear his trousers like that all the time. He used to keep his cigarettes under his T-shirt sleeve, you know, the way short T-shirts. And they used to, you know, like the old Navy people used
God
to do.
God almighty.
I know, it's really tragic.
That's weird.
Whatever happened to him?
Who knows? Oh, I hope he's not living somewhere in poverty.
I hope he still has T-shirts to put his bags in.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's not a... It's not a pre-Marks muzzle top now that he's shoving his cigarettes up. Simon, if you're listening, get in touch. We'd love to have you on the show.
Let us know you're okay.
Yeah. Send proof of life. A photograph of you and whatever Fabergé egg you bought today.
Today we are supposed to be helping people with their lives.
We are, as always, Niamh, as always, we are changing lives left, right and centre. Today's episode is about decluttering.
Oh my right? God. And the response.
I know. Loads of people got in touch and people expecting us to clear their decluttering problems. Now, I have to say, I'm not going to be able to do that because one of the things that I've realised, because a couple of years ago, I decided, I'm going to declutter. I'm going to be, you know, the next Marie Kondo. I want minimalist clean lines.
Oh, gosh.
I just want white counters and a plant. That's
white counters and a plant? They're a real
plant
or not?
All my belongings.
Okay. I bequest.
And, yeah. And I did a massive clear out and then realised that a lot of the stuff that I'd got rid of, I actually wanted to keep.
Did you rebuy them?
I did rebuy a lot of CDs.
Yeah, for God's sake.
I have to say, now, just charity shops. And it's really weird because when I'm in charity shops now, because I love hunting for CDs and records in charity shops.
You should
come
to my house.
It's my thing. I totally will. Every so often, there'll be a batch of CDs that I kind of go through and I think, I bet you these were mine.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I was in a charity shop once when a boy came in absolutely frantic with his mother, like absolutely bananas, and
why
like I was looking through the records and he like took the box like away as in he wouldn't let me have it, and apparently his mother, I think he was moving house and he had left a pile of stuff to give away and she'd actually given away that stuff and his record collection.
Oh my God.
And he was demented.
Okay. Well,
understandably
filed under his own fault, he wasn't clear about
his
that.
Mother, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And his mother,
if he moved out,
his mother
take
was just
your
like,
shit
I paid
with
for them,
you.
Whatever. Yeah,
excuse
this
me.
This is just what happens.
Take your shit with you.
That's, I have to say, that's a mother now. That is a very mother
approach.
Mother approach to things. Mm. Like, I remember years ago, actually, I think it was during the pandemic, my mom was doing a clear out of the attic. She's like, all your treasures or belongings are in the skip. Come and get them.
Save them from the skip.
And do you know what I saved? What I wanted to save was my teddy bear called Constance. It was a teddy bear.
Who named your teddy bear?
I don't know. It's very Pride and Prejudice vibes.
Constance?
I think. It's like Constance.
Really? Early but indicator.
I haven't found her. But what I have found is her leg. I know. It's like...
How do you know it's Constance's leg?
It's definitely Constance's leg.
Just the leg.
I feel like a war widow. It's like we know.
Oh my gosh.
I just have Constance's leg at home in the drawer of my desk. Like we've never found the rest of her.
Oh God. I have so many emotions. I have so many emotions in me at this moment.
I know. Yeah.
too many emotions. Do you know, it's funny, I am not sentimental about much in my life, right? I love when somebody makes something for me, you know what I mean? Like, I have little figures that my sister made for me out of clay, and then I had one that my niece made for me probably in nursery, and the boys made me stuff in, like, very young. One of them disintegrated eventually, but I have these lumps of clay that my boys made in nursery. They were obviously candle holders. There was like a stock thing. And some people have lovely candle holders made by their children. I literally have two lumps of clay, which they must have slapped with their fist and stuck the two things and then put in the two candle bits. And then they stuck as many balls as they could make them do in the length of time. And they just went, that's it, I'm done. And they come out every Christmas. I put them on the table to show their love for me. But I'm not sentimental about stuff. I mean, Paul said to me the other day, I can't believe... you know, I told him about some award. I said, oh, I won that. I said, somewhere up on the thing. Where's your awards? I said, well, who puts a bit of glass with your name on it? It's ridiculous. You know, I have all these things, but I have kept them because I don't know what else to do with them.
Well, speaking of somebody that still has the Cedar Willow area disco dancing competition trophy from 1988. I would say we're very different people.
We are. What do you do with it? I mean, it's just silly, like, for me. But the boys won't even want them. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with them.
They will want them. When they get their own house, they will. They'll be so proud of you.
Listen, I've cleared out two houses belonging to people who we loved and passed. And I guarantee you, nobody wants your stuff. I'm not a hoarder for that sort of kind of thing. But, and every now and then I go through them again just to be sure. You know, because you're less sentimental about them a few years later. I mean, I kept every painting they did when they were tiny, and now they don't even know what the blobs are. So quite frankly, you know, you'd have to be taking some sort of personality test to be actually looking at them.
My mom is quite sentimental. I am quite sentimental about certain things. Like, one of the things I have that I don't think I'll ever get rid of is, do you remember that there was the poem about the kid who, couldn't, had no money to buy presents for under the tree. So I think he wrote a poem or something.
Okay. Different generation, really.
Yeah. Well, it was a poem we would have learned at school. And then I remember my mom giving us on Christmas morning a little box and we all had a verse of it written in it. And then we could all read the
That's really
the poem.
Lovely.
It was really nice.
It was a really lovely thing.
Yeah. And then I was probably 24. She had the idea for years and then just finally got around to it.
Do you know what's really funny about that? Growing up, I always thought I was going to be that kind of mother, you know, very lovely and doing all those wonderful things. And I really wasn't. Well, or if I was, my children don't remember it.
But you see, I don't think you do. Like, I think if my mom had done that when I was 8, I would have been just like, oh, I just want to play Ms. Transformers.
Yeah, like, what's wrong with you?
I think when, like, she did it kind of later on. She's very smart, my mother. Very smart. It's such a lovely memory. Now, I still have that box that's in my desk drawer as well. Now, I have to say, I'd say I'm probably the only person that can't buy that box.
Yeah, so you only
like
have one verse.
My sisters and brother, they're not sentimental.
You literally have
I just
one
have
verse.
One verse.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
like every song I've ever sung.
Anyway.
Just one verse, Garage, not the best. Works on Pop Idol.
You actually did the Marie Kondo. How did you find it?
I found it really good. I think it's really good for people that are a little bit, let's just say a little bit American. Because what you've got to do is, right, you've got to take all your belongings, pile them up, and then touch every belonging to see if it sparks joy.
Okay.
Now, I think the problem with that is that if you're Irish, we're a bit cynical and we don't really have
Nothing.
Joy.
Yeah.
We just have.
We don't want to admit joy.
We just have like... We don't admit to joy.
Yeah.
We will only ever admit to being slightly less disappointed than they were a minute ago. I think that's fair to say.
I saw this. I look with envy upon every decluttering thing I ever see because I run into places and go, there's too much stuff in this place. You know, like, I don't need this stuff. And then I can't physically, you know, get myself around to it. This whole concept of... Does it spark joy? Then you have to decide whether it sparks the joy, and then you have to thank it for its service and put it in a bin.
Yeah.
Essentially. Now, see,
that's the bit that I kind of fell down on, right? Because
did everything spark joy? Garode, were you joyful that day?
It's not that it didn't necessarily spark joy, but I didn't feel like I wanted to talk to it. Like, to be honest with you, I think if you find yourself talking to your shoes and saying thank you for yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not...
I'm at an
you
age...
You don't come out of that day feeling like a sense of achievement.
Well, I'll be honest, right? I talk all the time now to myself, right? It's the weirdest thing. I have a narrative to my life. I think, like, I don't know why it's happened. It's come on me over the last few years. When I'm doing things, I go, I'm going to do that now in a second. I think it's because right now, I'm finding it very hard to remember anything. It's the gods of the hormones are robbing me of my brain again. And the only last time I felt like this was when I was pregnant. And anybody who's ever had babies will understand this is a baby brain. And it really does happen. But unfortunately, it revisits you in menopause. And what's happening is I was a perfectly coherent person, able to retain things in my head. And now I need a narrative to keep me going.
Well,
and lists.
I talk to myself in a different way, right?
Oh.
I've noticed that I have this kind of character for my cat in my head. And it's kind of like when you spend too much time with her, I kind of wonder what she's thinking the whole time. And I always think that she's like this aggressive old lady. So what I've started to do is I've started to say out loud the things that I think she's saying.
Okay.
I know this, now that I say this out loud, this is not healthy.
No.
I will say things like she'll be on her stand and I'll be walking into the kitchen and I'll go, there he is now, the stupid prick. And then I stop and go, girl, this is not what healthy people do.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally what healthy people do. But you don't keep that as quiet as you think because you put it on Instagram all the time.
And maybe, yeah, that could be. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, let's just say I'm writing jokes.
Okay. We'll just leave that there. Anyway, let's get back to the...
Decluttering.
Decluttering.
Well, the thing about decluttering is, right, the easy place to start is your bathroom. I think that's a really good tip. That was in the... I think it was in the Marie Kondo
book. Achievable very quickly.
Yeah. It's like, it's high impact, like small room. There's probably only one or two presses and you feel absolutely amazing.
Do you do it room by room or do you do it by item? Because I know, I appreciate that there's two different... Yeah. So, by category, as in all the books from the house.
Yeah, all the books piled up. And then all of the CDs. And then she has this other category called Con Marie?
I don't know. I absolutely loved what Stacey Solomon did, which basically emptied a person's house.
Into a warehouse.
Oh my God. The single most enviable thing I ever saw on TV ever. I went, please somebody come and do that to my house. And shame me into realizing how many bits of paper I do not require in my life.
I know.
How many whisks do I have? You know what I mean? Like, it's how many whisks?
Well, now, you see, here's my thing, right? Because my kitchen is pretty, like, I have a lot of stuff in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. And it's a place I always try to declutter. But having extra whisks and having extra spatulas and stuff like that and egg lifters and stuff, that's actually really handy when stuff is in the dishwasher.
But if you didn't have them, that stuff would not be in the dishwasher. They'd be cleaned and out.
You make a very good point.
Simple. I think when the biggest tip I'm going to say about decluttering to me is you need somebody not as attached as you in the space. Now, I know.
Very good idea.
I know for a fact it's very difficult for any of us to have anybody in just in case something comes out that shames you, right? You know, you're always a bit afraid that somebody wouldn't quite understand why is that in my house?
Exactly,
but actually, I think it's always much better to have somebody there because it will make you do what you need to do.
And the other thing is, I think if you're doing something like Marie Kondo, which is quite brutal.
Oh, it is
like,
very
it's
brutal.
Very, like the starting point of Marie Kondo is you're getting rid of all your belongings. And then what you're doing is, when you're decluttering, is you're deciding what to keep.
Yeah.
Like, that's very brutal.
Yeah.
So I think what would be good, because sometimes you can get a bit into it and be like, oh yeah, I don't need any of those letters from my, you know.
From my beloved.
From my granny.
Yes.
And then.
Where's my nanny's granny?
Granny's died. Do you know what I mean? Oh. Like, but it's nice to. It, but that's just the way the world works.
Grannies die.
Then, in that case, I think it's nice to have somebody say, are you sure you want to get rid of that?
Yeah, no, there is. You need somebody to justify why you're doing something because you do tend to, sometimes when you get into a deep clutter, either, you know, you end up kind of nearly too anal about it and you forget what to actually take into consideration what it is. But I will say this, I think what happens to people and why they become demoralized by it is they take on too much.
Yeah.
In one go. And I read a really good thing one time where they kind of, you know, went in and they picked an area. So they literally did, I'm going to do these drawers today.
Okay.
And that's manageable.
Yeah, that is good.
You know, so you can do that in an hour and just take over your life.
And do you know what I used to do? And it would always ruin it. Was I would say, oh, I've got 2 hours. I don't have to go out now for 2 hours. So I'll do like my bedroom drawers.
Right.
And then what happened is I'd start to go through stuff and then I'd take everything out.
And then put it all
I'd start to go through it. And they go, oh, do you remember this? And I'd spend ages looking. And then the time is gone that I'd allowed it to do this.
No, you have to give it a time.
And then you've got, all of a sudden, you've got a pile in your bedroom for 2 weeks. And you're like, I'm never doing this. Baron says, I have a rule in my house. When something comes in, something old has to go. I live in an apartment, a New York one, so it's half the size of a regular condo. And a couple of years ago, it was getting really crowded. It really works. I started with my clothes and then did it with books and got rid of all my DVDs and CDs. I have to say, getting rid of DVDs and CDs, that's something I do struggle with, I have to say.
I know, but that's because you spend your whole time going buying new ones anyway.
Yeah.
But you still do that. I have CDs, right? And I love the CDs that I have. The problem is, if I want a song now, I'm onto some sort of platform. I look online. I don't actually go to the physical.
Yeah, you don't.
But I miss the physical thing.
Yeah, you see, I love reading the notes and the thank yous. And
actually,
the
same with books, really. You know, you can read books in many ways now, but the physicality of a book changes how you are. And then if you're reading off your phone or a Kindle or whatever, you're not actually getting that. I'm completely detaching myself from technology. Yeah.
One of the other things I do with mail is I try to do this thing where, you know, when you get your post, you're like, just do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And then throw the post out.
Oh, the handle piece of paper once.
Yes. Yeah. So like you get post and then you
action it.
Yeah. Like book the appointment if it's like a reminder to book an appointment.
Sure.
Pay the bill, file away the mobile phone receipt or whatever it is.
That's
throw
it.
Everything in the bin. And then it's over. You're not adding. Because I'm terrible for, you know, like with taxes. I have this desk. It's like a bureau. The desk folds up and it closes and it's like a big press.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I do is when I get a receipt, I just open it briefly and drop it in.
Yeah, okay.
So essentially what
you
I have...
You can't open it fully.
It's the equivalent of having...
Because it'll all fall out.
Yeah. It's like essentially a big skip.
Yeah, but I think anybody who is in the pay-as-you-go kind of category or pay-as-you-earn thing, the thing is, they don't realise how essential it is for us to keep every piece of paper.
Yeah.
Because you live in fear that somebody's going to come and ask for that piece of paper. You live in fear of it.
No.
I think I would chance jail just to not have all this.
I would do the time. I would do the time rather than have to go through.
I'm almost at that stage.
I absolutely won't.
Anyway, so I have a spare room from hell and I really hope this episode inspires me to clear it out. I need a lot of tips. Jamie, spare rooms are the graveyard of life and, you know, it's not a spare room if it's full of stuff.
Yeah. And if you need to keep stuff in your spare room, it's an office.
Yeah.
But what I would say is...
Depends on the stuff, right?
Don't have... Like, to be honest with you, Jamie, I've thought about this myself. Every time I go into my spare room, I just think I should just board this up.
No. What you need to do, Jamie, is if there's someone that makes you want to clean your house before they come over, right? You have to pretend that they're going to come and stay with you for 2 weeks and they're going to have to stay in that room.
Yeah.
You would sort that room.
Exactly.
You would definitely sort that room.
You need a phantom guest.
Think about me coming over there and going, look at the state of this.
But do you know what I will say, right? Mm. Like declutter in a spare room is one of the last things you'll do because it feels like it's just so unnecessary.
Yeah.
So Jamie, get yourself a cheap wardrobe in IKEA. Stack it up.
No,
and then
no, do not do
stack
that.
Stack it up and
Jamie,
then just lock the door.
Absolutely not. You will achieve something in your life if you actually tackle this, but do it in a sensible way. Do it in small sections. Look in the room and say, I'm going to do this section first and I'm only going to do that today. I promise you, Jamie, you will be so happy when you do it. Pretend your mother's coming to stay. That's
look,
usually puts manners
around.
On us. I'll come.
Ask Neve around.
I will come,
she's
Jamie.
She's got a couple of days off coming up. She'd love to do it. Thrilled.
I know. And then Monica's the same. She says, I really need to declutter. I make plans to do it every weekend and it never happens. My kitchen is a disaster. Well, we know about the kitchen, right? Every press is overflown. And then there's a big, Listen, Monica, that's how I feel every time I go into a room like that. I really
I have to say now, my kitchen's the next one. That's the next one that has to be done.
It's a tough one.
Because you know what I did, actually? I replaced a press with four drawers because I thought it would be so handy to have drawers.
Oh, I remember
drawers.
That story. I remember that story. It cost you a lot of money. So you better be filling those drawers proper.
Those drawers are full. Strain. They're buckling under the weight. Helen says, I got Marie Kondo's book and followed it religiously. And I swear to God, it felt amazing. It was stressful doing it, but it was fantastic. I haven't looked back. I live a minimalist life. Helen, you're a show off. I was a bit more cautious. Then she suggested there was some stuff that I felt weird about throwing out.
So I didn't. No.
So I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. You can't replace memories.
Okay, so you're not completely minimalist.
That's, you know what? That's a very sensible approach.
Yes, it is. I think it's completely the right approach. It is not right to throw off, even if the people after you don't want what you have, you want it. Because
yeah,
it sparks
some things.
Some like, memory. But actually, she does cover that. In other words, if it sparks joy, if it sparks something in you, an emotion in you, then you should keep it.
She says that clutter is about unresolved things in your past or a fear of the future.
Right. Oh, okay.
You're saying thank you to your shoes. Okay, I think you should definitely fear your future.
No, that's different. Like, that's different. Excuse me. I have shoes that I have to thank. I have two pairs of Eurovision shoes.
But you still have them.
I do. Well, I still wear them occasionally. But, I you know, around the house. My 800 euro Gina shoes.
Clacking in on the tiles.
800 euro, sorry. My 800 euro, Gina shoes that I wore in 2010. They're like the most impractical things you ever wore. But, you know, I clutter around the house in them.
But did you not have a long dress?
Oh, I did. Very long.
It was a long dress with Gina, with 800 quid shoes underneath them.
Oh, they don't do things by halves, I tell you. But you're right, Helen.
I had to put you in a pair of practical runners to get up and down off that box.
I'm going to say this, Helen. You're right, you can't replace memories, but how memories do you actually need to keep? And sometimes you don't need to keep the physical thing. You could take a photograph today and put it somewhere. You don't need to physically have the thing. Some of them, you know, a ticket stub. You don't need to keep a ticket stub.
Niamh, I have.
I know what you have.
A drawer full of ticket stubs.
And I'm actually, I can't believe I said that because quite frankly, I have so many things. I have boxes.
I have a drawer. Actually think, do you know what? If I have it, I'll post it on Instagram. I'm 99% certain of a Niamh Kavanagh live at the Olympia from 1995.
Wow.
99% certain I have that ticket.
Excellent.
I'm going to put it online.
You better. Ian, I'm an absolute hoarder and I really want to change. I would love to start getting rid of stuff, but the thoughts of it are really crippling me. So I have high expectations for this episode. Grode and Niamh are on the case. We are, Ian. We are on the case. Actually, to be fair, now I feel we need to...
Niamh is on the case.
We need... I will come to your house and help you out. But I seriously think if you are feeling this way, you are not alone. Everybody feels this way about their
they
stuff.
They do, yeah.
Their stuff is overwhelming and we've just spent 2 years basically living with our stuff.
I know,
in ways that we probably haven't done for a long time.
Now, I have to say, during the pandemic, I did clear out
did
a
you?
Good bit of stuff. Yeah, I threw out a lot of stuff. But you know what I did learn to live with?
Well,
I learned to live with a messier place.
Oh, okay.
Because the place was messier because you were in it the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, so I like the walls needed painting. You're like, oh, I'm not painting them. You know, the wear and tear on your house, I think, from living in it so much over the past 2 years is really obvious.
Yeah, no, I know. It is true for it. I did a lot of painting. I literally painted. You know me, I love to paint.
Niamh's house is like the Dulux colour chart.
Oh, no, it isn't.
She's like,
I love colour.
She just basically, the Dulux colour chart is just another list to Niamh. She just ticks them off.
But it's fresh.
It's always fresh.
Fresh.
It's and the exciting. Freshest house. We are pausing for a moment to remind you that we are part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show, you can subscribe at headstuffpodcast.com for as little as €5 a month, and you will get bonus content from us and all of the shows on Headstuff Podcast Network. And our bonus content includes videos of the recording of the podcast. So you get to see Niamh in all of her post-COVID glory. So if you want proof of life, that's where you'll find it. We are here, though, to tell you about the Podcast Studios, which is where we record Agony Rants.
Mm-hmm.
The Podcast Studios is located in Dublin City Centre. It is a one-stop shop for all things audio, and it has three state-of-the-art studios. When we're recording, we usually use about three of them. We usually use all three. Niamh puts her stuff in one room. We have coffee in the other room.
Yeah.
And then we demolish the other room by setting up a camera. The Podcast Studios provide everything you need for podcasts, voiceover work, audiobook recordings, and more. And they're also set up for video recording, live streaming, or green screen filming. So, yeah.
It's very
handy. We love working
too.
With them, and it's really handy.
It's very handy where it is, you know. I mean, and, you know, you can park in a yellow or a red zone. We like that.
You can. And you can pay parking on an app like normal people.
You can be old school.
Or you can be old school and you can ring a person.
The Podcast Studios is the home of the Headstuff Podcast Network. It's where lots of our shows are recorded and we work on editing, promotion, videos, live shows, and lots more. As a podcast production company with three state-of-the-art studios for audio and video in Dublin City Centre, we can work with you to tell great stories in a professional and engaging way. From government organisations to charities, arts groups to international brands, entrepreneurs to hobbyists, we've worked with everybody and we can help you to get the word out. Whether you need studio time, you're hosting a live stream or webinar, or you need support with editing or marketing, we can tailor a package for you. For more info, head to thepodcaststudios.ie.
So anyway, we have a problem.
Yes, we do have a problem. Dear Niamh Garrod, I have a problem and there's literally nobody else I can mention this to because I sound like an absolute gal. I moved in with a boyfriend a year ago and there's a problem. And there is a problem. Actually, there are two problems. He is divorced and he has two kids and they're absolutely awful.
Oh my God.
I actually can't bear them. I love kids. I have two nieces and nephews who I love dearly, but his kids are absolute brats. 5 days a week, our relationship is great, but they arrive at the weekends and it is absolute torture. I have started to make plans on weekends with friends to get out of the house and avoid them.
Go on.
They are 11 and 9. And are really badly behaved. They have no respect for me or our house. My husband doesn't like to discipline them as he feels guilty about leaving. Oh, I guess he left. Okay. I'm actually sick of them. To make... I love the way this is just a furious stream of conscience.
Go on.
To make matters worse, we moved into into my place. Oh, and I dread these brats coming around every weekend. I know they're great on my other half, but they are his kids. I think his ex lets them do whatever they want and they come to our house and he feels the need to spoil them. I don't want to come between him and his kids, but they are definitely coming between me and him. Any and all advice appreciated. Would like to stay anon. You can call me Belle.
Well, Belle.
Do you know what? I don't relate to a lot of this, right? But there's what... When somebody moves into your place,
yes,
right, they move in because... You love them and can't bear to be without them. And nothing will knock the shine off that. Like coming in and seeing their dirty socks on your bathroom floor.
In an inappropriate place. Completely. Something in an inappropriate place.
Or the deodorant on top of the microwave. Like, someone coming in. I remember... Because you don't think about the practicalities of somebody moving in.
No.
You think about, oh, we're taking the next stage in our relationship.
It's lovely. It's wonderful.
It's absolutely lovely. And then all of a sudden they're putting photographs on your wall.
Yeah. Who said you could do that? This is my home.
Under no circumstances.
I know.
I really had to let go of that territorial thing, you know, over...
Boundaries are difficult.
But it's a slow progress. It's only the first 10 years.
Okay, let's move on to the real problem here, which is the children, right? And and you and your relationship with the children, okay? So I'm going to tell you now, I completely understand how you're feeling and you are in that set now. So nothing those children are going to do, even if they came in and gave you flowers tomorrow and told you were lovely, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're not going to accept it because you are right where you are. And it's a hard thing to accept, but actually when it comes to kids, you are the one who sometimes sets the tone. You're not necessarily the one who actually makes it happen. But the thing is, how you deal with it is very, very, very important. It's actually like with the people. One maxim I live my life is I do not accept bad behavior from anybody in my life.
Okay.
I can accept people and love them for who they are and accept that. But I will not accept bad behavior from people. Sometimes I'll file it under... it's not my job to deal with that, right? But if somebody is living in your house 2 days a week, they can learn rules for those 2 days. And I don't care what you think you're doing here. If you're allowing this happen in your house, you and your husband, you know.
But
no, I'm telling you now, it's really, really super important. Don't get me wrong. you need to start in it. How you deal with it is very important. You need to look at the behavior and go, that behavior is not acceptable. Kids can learn new behaviors in 50 different places.
But do you think she's afraid of being, like, if nobody else
the wicked stepmother?
She's going to be the wicked stepmother.
No. No. You see, there are ways of doing this, right? The thing is, there are definitely ways of doing this. I'm really passionate about this.
You get a big water hose.
Yeah. No. Although, no, there are ways of dealing with this. But and the first place you need to start is actually with yourself to calm down and let that go. Let the anger go.
But is it not, like, if you don't have kids, right? Because I find this, right? Mm. That if you don't have kids, you treat the kids' behavior as if they're adults.
Yeah, but you
like,
can't.
But you see, the thing about it is, if you don't have kids, you've never had that experience of, oh, kids are just learning how to be people. And so like when a kid is just like absolutely outwardly hostile to you, it affects you the same way an adult, if an adult was hostile to you.
Yeah. But then would you let an adult do that in your house?
No. Yeah. No, I know you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do not think daddy has to step up here.
Oh, no. First place you start is with yourself and go, right, I'm going to let this energy go elsewhere, because the problem is when you're starting from a hostile situation, the problem is you are never going to resolve this. You are never going to resolve it because you're already angry. So you need to kind of breathe a little bit deep and you need to get him on board, right? You need to get him on board, because actually he is part of the reason this is happening, right? Those children are probably acting out because they are unsure of where they belong.
They belong in prison by the sound.
Stop that. No, they are unsure where they belong and they want to know that they belong. And sometimes the way the children test that is by pushing boundaries. And actually adults do it too, right?
They do. Yeah.
So basically what they're looking for you is to say, I'm going to try this and see what you do. And actually they become less sure about how they feel about it if you do not react in the way they think you should.
Okay.
Now that I'm not saying that you go in there and lay down the law. You need to go to your husband and say, explain to him how you feel when you're not cross. You're not cross. You need to have that conversation in a very positive way. In other words, you go in and say, look, you know, I'm struggling with this. You know, can we come to an agreement on how the behavior should be? If you want to show your kids that you love them, you know, and show them that they're safe and they have you regardless when they're here. But there still has to be guidelines in that. You can't expect them to run amok. And actually, the kids will probably respond really well to that, because...
Yeah, I think if you give kids boundaries, like, I do think that every kid is a kid in search of a boundary.
Yeah.
You know, because I think if you...
Adults are the same.
Yeah, completely. Like, it's so much easier to know what's expected
when
you know what your boundaries are.
Well, put it this way. If you go in... When you were a kid, right, you behaved differently in school than you did at home.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right, because... You knew the roles were different there.
Yeah.
If you went to your granny's house, it was a different again, right? The thing is, there are rules in every space that you go to, and they're okay to be there. As long as you're not locking them in the room overnight, which is a whole thing.
Which she hasn't said whether she is or not.
Or trying to put them into an oven.
I'd be pretty understanding if she was. But like this, it's so hard, like when you're living on your own, you've got your own place, and then you're going into the next phase of a relationship with somebody. It's so hard when you've got these variables floating around. Now, I know they're part of the package.
It's like, okay to say children, okay?
Yeah, but she doesn't even see them as children.
It is a difficulty. It is difficult because you're inserting yourself into their life, but they're doing it in your house.
And she also doesn't know what is expected of her.
No.
Because I think the hardest relationship in that is not the kids with the parents, it's the relationship with the ex-wife.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to step on her toes.
No. But you don't have to. I mean, your relationship with them is going to be different to your ex-wife. The ex-wife.
Yeah, totally.
Right? You know, she is their mother. You're not trying to be their mother. If your nieces and nephews came in, you would have rules. Why are you not using the same rules with them?
Fair point.
You know, I mean, you don't have to do it in a bad way. You can actually explain to kids why you need them to react differently.
I would say, like, if we were to make a list, right, in order of what she has to do, I think... First things first, she needs conversation with the father.
100%.
And also it has to be like a reasonable conversation, not I hate your kids.
Yeah, no.
Like, I think...
Because I don't think you do.
The thing is, that's very tempting to say.
I think you probably don't hate the kids. I think the problem is you haven't developed a relationship with them and you need to.
And also the thing to remember, and this would be the bit that I would genuinely forget. I would forget. Yeah. And I do forget with my nieces and nephew when they're, you know, they won't talk to me because they're on their PlayStation or whatever.
Yeah.
You kind of forget... It's like, it's not that they don't want to talk.
It's just normal behavior.
It's just their kids.
Yeah,
and,
I know. Yeah.
And I do forget their kids and think, well, that was incredibly rude. And I will demand an apology.
Yeah, but I'm going to say, Belle, I completely empathize with you. It's a very, very difficult thing that's happening. It's a very big transition. And it's really important to say that. But there are ways to the end of this. And my resolutions are always about, you know, let's be calm. Step back and try and not get emotional about it. It's hard to, because you're already very emotional.
So have a conversation with him. Remember their kids.
Yeah. Be clear. Be clear what you want.
Yeah. Be clear about what your expectations
are.
Yeah.
And be clear for yourself.
The thing that she's doing is probably, it's not great here, is that she's taking herself out of the situation. And probably what she should do is she should have a conversation with your man and say, whatever we're doing at the weekend, I need to take a lead in this a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he thinks it's his time, but you can say, okay, we're all going to the zoo. It can be a nice thing, but
yes, exactly. Right.
But let them see that you're actually in control, because that's another thing when kids, like, the one thing about kids is if they sense even that there is a slight chink in the armor.
No, you're fecked.
They have no respect for you. You're gone.
That's the technical term is fecked. You're fecked.
Totally. I think it's one of those things that you're not going to see immediate progress. And do you know what? The other thing is that no matter, even if they get better behaved,
you'll still have problems.
You'll still have problems because
that's the nature of it.
Because the nature of
growing up is pushing boundaries.
You have your life, and then 2 days a week there are these animals that come into it.
Stop that, Grod.
I hope we've helped. Keep us posted.
Oh, yes.
We would love little updates.
And photographs of your decluttering. That would be amazing.
Oh, my God. Listen, if you want to send before and after pictures of bookcases, I mean, one of my friends sent me a photograph of a colour-coded bookcase recently.
Love it.
Swear.
Love it. So actually, and also I'm going to do a couple of lists of the way that I like to declutter. So.
Oh, Neva, because that's what she is now. She's an Instagram influencer.
Yes, and you know what?
Follow her on the gram at NeveKavanagh93.
And I'll give you somewhere you can contact me to come and sort you.
Yeah, exactly. Neve's getting a side hustle. You heard it here first. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll chat to you next week.
Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging.
Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.